Okay, we have board time Wednesday, May 20th at 2 p.m.
Okay, we start out with the 1.1 approval of minutes. Anybody want to change the order of any of these things? Okay. I see the minutes, and I do have one question or comment regarding one of those, but I'll leave it, let my colleagues lead first.
I'd be interested in hearing what you have to say.
Okay. All right. Under the discussion under quiet zone, it looks at it just all it talks about is we had discussion, and it doesn't really say anything that of any consensus or any direction. And Mark, you can help us understand better where we left that. I wrote down something from my recollection that said something that I'll just read it. Staff agreed to nail down the specifics, including cost, timing, proposed design, and to accommodate the interested neighbors so they can move forward with reasonable confidence. That's where I thought we left it, rather than we just discussed it. I thought we made progress so that staff knew which way they were going to go to help that to move forward.
Yeah, I'll rely on Axel to correct anything that I say that is not correct, but a number of things we were going to do. We were going to check with the ES to determine whether or not permits would be required, because we're close to a water body, and if permits would be required, what might they cost? We were also to talk with the neighbors about securing the services of a professional consultant to do the scoring, the safety scoring of the proposed solution, and then get that cost and the cost of environmental permits and the cost of construction, provide that to the neighbors to see if they'd be willing to engage in an effort to secure funding from their neighborhood.
Perfect. Yeah, well, I don't disagree with what either the chairman said or Mark. And so just so you know, DES did a great job and within a week turned around Excel permitting costs. So I have those, and I have a meeting with the neighbors tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. And so that was it. We were going to finalize the costs for permits and construction, which we've done. We're going to provide that to the citizens in a meeting tomorrow. And we talked about the need to begin discussing with them some sort of legal agreement for how they will pay for these steps. That's why I invited Chris Horn, who accepted the meeting invite, even though he probably doesn't know that.
So for the purposes of amending the minutes, Mr. McCauley, your rendition that's on this recording.
We can produce that.
Yes,
and
insert that so that we can kind of close the loop on where that discussion ended.
Okay. Why don't we do that and bring these minutes back again?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Moving on to
space planning. My name's behind that one. As you recall, last week and the week prior, you weren't here the week prior. We discussed the addition of two new counselors in January and the need to accommodate them. And we discussed two alternatives to accommodate the two new counselors. One was a solution that would call for the building out of two new offices identical to the three existing, utilizing the space in the conference room C at the end of the hallway to create those offices, and then subsequent or simultaneous modification of the project room space to be a new conference room. The other alternative was to take the interior offices along the spine of the building, two of them, clear them of equipment used by staff, furnish them appropriately, and put the new counselors in that space. Mm-hmm. I made a point of saying that if we were going to build two new offices, I needed to get on with it, and that might have been a pressure tactic that I shouldn't have employed. So maybe the board was a bit hasty, and I think Councilor Madure is looking to have a follow-on discussion about that decision to maybe decide to do something different. So,
yeah, thanks. Our desire to get her done, and any time you raise something that says, you know, this is timely, we need to act on it. My effort is to try to respect that. However, that one, I on the other balance, that I like to do due diligence. And immediately after that meeting, I walked over here and looked at those offices and updated what I had stored in my memory about what was in there. There's a printer in there. I thought there was more stuff and it was being better utilized. So thank you very much. Right after the meeting, I asked you to pause until we can bring this back, just to make sure that we do our have an opportunity to do our due diligence. And now that I've done that, I would like to be able to bring this back so that we have a more informed decision on the options going forward. You presented a no-cost option. Well, there's at least no cost when it comes to remodel.
Correct.
Furniture would cost some money, but not nearly as much as rebuilding.
That's common to any solution.
Yes.
Anybody that comes here is going to need furniture. With that, I am very much attracted to for remodel purposes, no cost option. And so I'd like to be able to propose that's what we do, but I want to hear from my fellow councilors.
What you're trying to say is, having voted on the prevailing side, you wish to have a revote.
You are so concise.
Yes,
that's right. Yeah.
So, when the charter was passed, citizens were given information that I believe underestimated the costs that would be associated with having five council members. I urge for non-passage of the charter for that and other reasons. I made every argument about how I would see the costs really balloon. Just based on life experience, you can't add two people to five and have it be benign. It's not likely to be benign in any way. And the notion that it would cost less than having three people at full salary also is not going to ever bear fruit. That's just not going to be the way it comes out. But the charter was passed, and I think people expect us to implement whatever is a prudent system for having the charter be fully implemented. So the building was designed, and this was part of what was said, is, yes, if we have to add offices, the sixth floor was specifically designed for that when it was built. Mm-hmm. And that's all true. So, am I interested in squandering unnecessary money? Absolutely not. But eventually, it's only reasonable to, at some time in the future, go ahead and build those offices. And what I worry about is when we put everything on hold and delay and do makeshift. I like those little offices. I don't think they are excess. The one office that we have on this end has two kind of easy chairs and a lamp, and it's kind of a quiet room. And sometimes when we have citizens who come in and are upset and are kind of at their wit's end about something, to be able to have that room that we can sit down and talk to them in, which is sort of low impact, a little less formal than sitting across the desk from us, and to have it accessible for other people who come in. I like that. I like having that room available. And that's one of the rooms we're talking about converting, because everything else is very linear in here. Mm-hmm. That room is a little softer room, and I've used it several times since I've been here. So it seems to me we're going to have to go ahead and add two offices, and they should be similar to the offices that exist now. and that we should get on with it, because otherwise we're going to have two transitions. One transition, converting those offices and have people move into those offices. And then in what length of time are we going to wait? And then we're going to have new disruption with having construction going on. So I don't see any sense to do it twice. And I don't have any reason to believe the charter is going to be rescinded. And even then, it wouldn't be, it can't be reviewed in substantial ways until after 5 years. So it's really a what is the most effective thing to do, to plan ahead, to do it one time and have it done right. So we don't know the exact costs, and I agree on that point. I would want to see a more refined cost development before I would make up my mind rigidly.
Problem with that, Counselor, yes, is to get that refined cost estimate, we have to spend a fair amount of money on someone to develop it, and that would require how much rerouting of ducting, the sprinklers, the lighting, all of the,
yes,
drawings, and we'd have to invest 10 to 15 with an architect just to get those numbers. And then if you decide not to build the offices, 10 or 15 has been spent on drawings that we then won't use.
So then the alternative is well,
can I make a point?
Sure, but I may make a counterpoint.
And that it would be welcomed. Certainly it would be cleanest and simplest for everybody to move once, but if we start and we live within our means, we better utilize space. Right now it is essentially available. We can move the printer out of there up here. We do have room in the big room. And all five of those offices can be used well now. And if at some time in the future, when we have five counselors here, there's a vote to develop the other two offices to consume that existing conference room C over there, that can be done without a negative impact to the rest of us. And when those two new offices are created, then the main impact is that the two counselors that are sitting in those existing offices would just move to the new ones. So moving down the hall is, to me, manageable. And if it means that we can save several hundred thousand dollars now, we don't have the need now. We can foresee that it's likely to have a need in the future, but it might make do.
So my only other point is, I'll certainly, if two of us want to use existing offices, I'll go with that. Otherwise, you know, I'm sort of an eminently practical. The design work, it would seem like it would have to be done. I would think whatever are the designs for the original building, how they demonstrated that could be done, or did somebody just say, oh, by the way, someday in the future you might be able to do this. I'm sure with the original drawings that there were something.
I don't believe that they designed the build-out of those two offices, yeah, but what they did do is they indicated that the dimensions of the space are exactly perfect to, yeah, accommodate a wall and have the two new spaces be identical to the three,
sure,
existing.
It was a happy coincidence if it happened that way, but I look and it looks like they had some foresight in because that would be two identical offices if you just simply consume that. So have you discussed this enough? I would like to.
Yes.
Well, I think we heard from Councillor Mielke last week. You're going to repeat everything you said last week, or can we just
I could build my house for $300,000, three bedrooms and or three baths and four bedrooms. And I think it's a ridiculous amount of money to spend on that. And I think that we need to use what we have. It's only the proper thing to do.
Okay. Would somebody like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion that we utilize the empty rooms that we have today to be converted to the new consular offices.
Okay, and I understand what that means is that basically that's the, what we'll call the no-cost remodel option. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, all right, any more discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. We're going to live within our means using existing resources.
Done.
Great. Okay, thank you. All right. 1.3, the Associate Development Organizations, ADO, letter from the Department of Commerce.
Did you skip over the minutes?
Yes, we're going to bring those back after they update them with that. A more thorough explanation.
Okay.
On 1.1.
Okay.
So the ADO program out of Department of Commerce, I've made copies of all the documents. Again, we've had them before. This is something that the county has done before, and it's done each year. It has been done each year.
Every 2 years, right?
It's done every 2 years, but the distribution is made annually. So it's approximately $160,000 per year. Department of Commerce earmarks the money for economic development in each county, but they ask the county who is the most qualified and has the best developed program in the county to manage economic development. In our case, it's been Columbia River Economic Development Council. And we have each year signed a letter and sent it back to Department of Commerce indicating that CREDC is our designated ADO or Associate Development Organization. So it's back here again. We're looking to get the letter approved. It needs to be in Olympia by the 15th. I've also included the Washington State RCW 43330080 information and the letter from Department of Commerce, what the eligibility and designation guidelines are. So this is a routine item, and you'd ask for more information, Mr. Mador, and so I've given all the information pretty much that exists on this.
Okay. Well, I have some. I passed out a packet for each of you, and I thank you very much also for including the RCW that specify what the scope and what the appropriate role of the ADO is supposed to be. And if it's not listed in there, I assume it's out of scope. And I certainly support all the economic development efforts. I support the mission the way it's defined here in the RCW. I am very much in agreement with the activities that have been consistent with that mission and with the intended purpose. And if the ADO was doing that and focusing on that and staying neutral when it comes to areas that are contrary to that or controversial, if they were doing that, this would be a breeze. I would say it would be appropriate, easy, and of course we would approve it. The problem is, though, that the ADO is doing extracurricular activities that are high profile, highly controversial, And I think violating what to me is a public trust, using taxpayer funds to lobby against the taxpayers that pay those funds. I see Mike Womar, welcome here. You and I have had several conversations over this last week about this. And what I have here is the public information or public records request that's been provided. And there's ample documentation here that says the Mill Plain Interchange is this CRC project. There's the CREDC stamp is on all over this. And this is all just from last month. There's a letter from the City of Vancouver that mentions the CRC, five or six or seven or eight times as a CRC. The drawing that's submitted from WashDOT is the CRC project. It's not compatible with their current project, with their current freeway. There's another letter in there signed by the president of the CREDC. And at the top of that, on that page, it says they're basically calling upon the House to fund that project, which is the CRC project. And that's one issue I have, but I also look at the practical application. What would that project actually do? And on page 3 is a contrast between, there's a snapshot of Google Maps, Google Earth, there that shows the existing interchange, and there's the CRC drawing that was provided by the CRC, has a CRC stamp on it to the right of that.
Do we have an extra copy of that?
I did. I gave one away earlier, so I can make more copies later. But basically, intentions are one thing, but the actual implementation of it can actually do exactly the opposite of what is intended. In this case, the drawing that represents this project, if you notice, I made notes on it that contrast the before and the after, or show the existing versus the proposed. The proposed CRC project actually makes the radius, two of the radiuses, worse, much worse than they are now. And that's pointed out on the drawing. You notice that on the left drawing, there's three Q lanes underneath the 5 freeway on Mill Plain. This project takes them away and replaces that very well working interchange that works very well during the highest congestion, and that's what this is meant to resolve, is congestion. It replaces it with a congestion intolerant design. Those Q lanes are removed, and we end up with a single point intersection where that has to be cleared out every time you have before you can move to the next signal phase. And the problem with that is that it will cause gridlock on Mill Plain when the I-5 is congested, either going north or south, which happens twice a day. And so the idea of having this economic development, streamlining the freight movement from our very busy intersection, to take something that's working very well now, that we designed and has the capacity to move lots of traffic, especially during congestion, and actually turns it into what I think would be one of the biggest trouble spots of congestion on Mill Plain in our region. And so it's not well thought out. It's not only that, but the answers that are promoting this, I think, are under the guise of promoting something that is to be good. In reality, it's the CRC through the back door. The CRC ought to be a separate project, unrelated to the ERC or to our CREDC. It shouldn't even enter into this conversation, and the CREDC ought to remain neutral in this and just say, don't advocate for or against it. There's nothing in here that says a CREDC can use those funds to lobby our state legislature for major transportation projects. Is all of the RCW law here talks about the local economic development, business activities, marketing our community, all of those good things. And so I'm not prepared to move forward on this because up to this point, I would be, I'm thinking there's got to be there's a problem to be resolved here before we just simply use taxpayer funds to keep lobbying against those taxpayers. The people voted against the CRC project, and this pushes it through the back door anyway.
The northbound exit to Fourth Plain is taken away.
It is. It's missing. This presumes this drawing only works with the fully built CRC project. You see the number of lanes on the main part of the freeway? There's four through lanes on the 5 freeway going north and south on this, and we only have three. And not only that, but the Evergreen overpass, this shows 16 lanes under there. Right now we're maxed out at 8 lanes. You can't fit any more there. So this is what the drawing that's proposed is a misrepresentation. It is absolutely unworkable, incompatible with the existing freeway, and this is the best they have to offer. There are no other drawings that anybody has been able to submit, so it actually moves our community. It's still, I think, the covert mystery project, and it should not be something that's promoted by the CRDC. It's out of their scope.
So, looking at that map, mm-hmm. the attribution is www.clark.wa.gov/corridor/images. So, the photo image is out of our system.
The photo image is just a snapshot of Google Earth.
Okay,
Google
but
Earth.
Who did this I drawing did. That's
this,
on the right?
This drawing is from WashDOT, and the original drawing has the stamp. It says Columbia River Crossing Project 2011. So that is a 2011 CRC document.
Okay,
and that's what WashDOT says is this project.
Whose writing is that, though?
That I copied this and put my notes on there, what I know about this, to show the inconsistency between what is being proposed and reality.
So the organizations that are promoting the Mill Plain Boulevard interchange mm-hmm. are Regional Transportation Council, Port of Vancouver,
City of Vancouver. WashDOT.
WashDOT.
Identity Clark County.
Well.
Other non-government agencies that would be on the receiving end of the public funds.
So this. When it says on the letter, funding for these two projects, is it referring to I-5 Mill Plain Interchange and Mill Plain mm-hmm. SR-501 corridor?
It's Mill Plain and the interchange. And the Mill Plain, there's no problem. Mill Plain needs to be improved, but the interchange...
So you want to argue with part of this?
I'm going to argue with what they're promoting as the CRC project as revealed by those entities.
So you disagree with the Mill Plain interchange, and I'm not exactly neutral about it myself. The broader letter, broader package that CREDC supported, as did RTC, Port of Vancouver, and all the rest, is the Clark County Transportation Alliance, which did not specify specific corridors. It gave general descriptions of how we could improve transportation in our region. Mm-hmm. So the bone to pick is with this specific issue, with one of the projects that's in the transportation plan.
Yes. And I would go further. If we read this RCW here that says, what is the scope and what is the mission, what is the role of the Economic Development Council, it does not include lobbying the state legislature for major transportation projects.
Well, we ask them to lobby for 179. So did we ask them to violate state law?
We've asked others, but not the CRADC.
Primarily for the development of the Discovery Corridor.
According to this, they should remain neutral. That's not within their scope.
So is 179th Street in their scope?
No major transportation project is, because there are other entities, WSDOT, Clark County, RTC, that is the domain, that's the jurisdiction of, and that's the mission, major transportation projects.
I'm sure that we ask all interested parties to advocate for 179th.
I'm going by the RCW. It's not in there.
Huh?
I'm going by the RCW that says, what is the scope of that particular organization?
Well, it didn't stop us from asking people to advocate for 179th. We didn't say, is this in your scope? We said it's economic development for Clark County.
This isn't about 179th. This is about the CRC project.
This is about, in a general sense, a transportation project. So here's where I start to worry. Each organization has its obligation to meet the needs of the majority of its board. And they will never meet 100% of every person who sits on the board of every specific organization. They can never meet 100% of what everybody likes or doesn't like. So, and I don't really understand the Milflam Boulevard interchange, but I don't necessarily want to be piecemealing and using leverage over organizations, not to prevent organizations from doing what they think is their part in the community, which is supporting what is being pressed as an important transportation corridor. So to want to leverage the money and punish somebody who does something that we don't like becomes very worrisome to me. And although I may not agree with the Mill Plain Corridor, I just don't want to enter an era where if you don't do exactly what Clark County wants, we're going to screw up your revenue stream. That's just how it feels. And I think in a partnership with CREDC and other organizations, we need to have a sense that we communicate with each other and that we have a relative trust. So, and the question about the money, it's a relatively new question. The Mill Plain Interchange, I asked RTC for Regional Transportation Council for all the information they've had about this Mill Plain Boulevard extension, because at the beginning of the year we were suggesting we'd never seen it before. And the director of RTC showed me that this has been an ongoing project since 2012. It has never come out of the priority list since 2012. And maybe we don't want it in the priority list, but it has been in the priority list in Clark County in general since 2012.
I think it was there as a CRC project.
It has never come out. It has never failed to be on the RTC approved list since its first inception, mm-hmm. including in January or February this year, it was once again approved. So,
this is the form. Every time we asked for something, they kept giving us the same piece of paper. No one ever had a drawing.
But this that was the Regional Transportation Council that gave us the pretty sheet. That wasn't CREDC.
Who gave us that?
Pardon me?
Who gave us this?
RTC, when they handed out the priorities list. And this was added in one of the packets as sort of the description for Mill Plain.
Part of the CRC project.
And I would say that as an RTC board member, since December, I've been asking and asking and asking, and there has been no forthcoming information. So I went through the process of submitting a formal public records request to all of the entities, and we would not have known about this letter or this drawing that's stamped 2011 by the CRC, and it says it is the CRC. We would not have known about these had that not been legally required for them to surrender.
Who supplied this?
This came through both WSDOT and City of Vancouver. Bronson Potter.
So where has it been?
That's what I want to know.
No. When did Clark County get it?
I just got it. I got some documents today. I drove over there and picked them up, and I got some last week.
But this is City of Vancouver.
Mm-hmm. Bronson Potter, City of Vancouver attorney.
So, City of Vancouver, we know they've advocated for this forever. Mm-hmm. It's news to me that they did something as recent as April 9th.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the purpose of this is. Well, I don't know what they did with that memorandum.
Well, this was a letter to the state legislature asking them, they're in session, and they're talking about the transportation funding package, and they took off, and so the legislature took off a 179th Street interchange and put this one as the top priority in its place.
Well, this doesn't say it's to the state legislature.
Well, I've got
there might be subsequent documents that say that. So the advocacy for Mill Plain Boulevard and for 179th have followed parallel courses with us not advocating for Mill Plain Boulevard, but for us advocating for 179th. So.
Can I address a few of the points you made? Certainly, we never try to meet 100% or every need of every person ever. That's not realistic. It really has to do with the basic mission, what's within the scope and what's against the scope, what's outside the scope. This is not about punishing. We had this same conversation 2 years ago when they were again advocating for the CRC project. And at that point, advocating to the point where completely opposite of what the CRC is supposed to do, build jobs within Clark County, advocated for the CRC, even though it meant paying the three biggest, three of the largest job creators in our area, paying them $87.4 million to likely relocate out of our area to kill more jobs than the CRT EDC would ever have created. So this is not the first time we've had this conversation. We've made the appeal, and they were, we made that appeal the last time this was this came up in this boardroom. And still, if the we get this as of last month in the legislative session, advocating to fund this this phase of the CRC project that's completely incompatible. So it's not just a matter of this being doing more harm than good, because it does. It does more harm than good. It gridlocks Mill Plain the way it's drawn. But it is contrary to the, it's misusing the funds, taxpayer funds, to lobby against the taxpayers. That's the problem I have, that's what I have a problem with. Sierra EDC should be focusing on marketing Clark County, should be focusing on working with businesses, working with local jurisdictions, not continuing to lobby our legislature for the biggest major transportation project in our history that the voters have already rejected. And when it comes to partnership and trust, I feel like our trust and the voters' trust has been is not being respected, and they're not being a good partner for us, because we trusted them last time by saying, okay, we'll pass that through last time. And we thought the CRC was dead. Well, they're trying to resurrect it here, and they're using those funds to do it, and I have a problem with that. It's perhaps we can still have a conversation, and perhaps the CREDC can withdraw from these controversial projects and just stay focused on their core mission.
Well, and that might satisfy you as one member, but that does not satisfy the whole body of CREDC, which we need that whole body in order to get healthy, balanced economic development. We need that whole board of all different people from all different segments to work together for the common goal, and those people don't focus on one project. They focus on the community as a whole. So, I don't want to, however much misgiving I have about the Mill Plain project, I don't want to get into a situation where we want to tell somebody, here are the parameters under which you can be an executive director of an organization in Clark County. And I know exactly what your job should be, and this isn't, you know, this isn't one. We can disagree with the project, but to want to rewrite how other organizations do business, that's a different matter. So regarding the ADO money, there is, since CREDC is the most qualified organization in Clark County to do economic development, to withhold the money from them means Clark County will lose that money.
Not
the fact that we don't, yes. Well, what is your counterproposal? Do you want to start an economic development organization in Clark County?
What I'm, where I'm at right here is with the hope that this there can be a correction for this. I'm not giving up hope. There's still time where we can, and we're not trying to micromanage, we're not trying to specifically to say what you exactly can do or cannot do. What we're really saying is, in those areas where it's going to do more harm than good, like this does, like the CRC project.
Well, that's your opinion, but that's not everybody's.
It is my opinion. It's only my opinion. And you asked why, what problems I have with this. I would say the fundamental basic is stay focused on the mission, and don't get involved in things that that war against the citizens. 223 out of the 228 precincts said no to this project. to the CRC project. We're entrusted with the stewardship of the public funds, and it passes through us for a reason, to make sure that we make sure that it goes through the mission, it's consistent with the RCW, and it's not inconsistent with the RCW.
So, do you want Mike Bomar to take that letter back?
We have had several conversations, and I've already shared the letter with Mike Bomar earlier.
Yeah.
Mike, you're welcome to,
okay,
to share.
Okay, so we've had those conversations, but I'll say it, and this is a public forum here. So, a couple things to clarify that are misinformation. The ADO designation does not define our entire scope. It defines our relationship with the Department of Commerce and what we need to do as part of that contract. So the designation spells out specific things that they're looking for. Our scope is defined by the economic development plan that was supported by Clark County, which does call for us to advocate for infrastructure investment in Clark County. Every other economic development council in the state does that, and I would imagine in the country as well. We've talked specifically on Mill Plain. Our role in Mill Plain to date has been with the Clark County Transportation Alliance, similar to RTC and the other organizations in supporting that. We didn't formulate that letter. I, as you know, was only involved in design level discussions of conceptual what that project could bring. I specifically asked questions concerning CRC. Our position on CRC is that it is dead for public consumption. Our work related to the I-5 corridor congestion problem right now is in working with a broad range of individuals and interests to look at how, whether it's an east side, west side, I-5 bridge solution, how do we create a process by which we can discuss the problem and get to a point where whatever project is the outcome is ultimately funded and is not balanced or heavily weighted one side or the other. I think that's important misinformation, because what's been said is that we're lobbying for Mill Plain. I called and asked Matt Ransom in the future to use the CCTA logo and not our logo on those documents to avoid any confusion of what our role is in that project. We have denied both the request to specifically support Mill Plain and to specifically support 179th without including, in addition to all of the other projects listed in the Clark County Transportation Alliance statement, in our work with the legislature, as they reach out to us for information on how projects will affect economic development projects in the future. I want to be very clear in public about what our role and our stance is on that. So if there's any questions remaining, I'm happy to address those in a public setting. I know we've all talked individually on that. I know you've heard from our legislators as well on that. But I just want to be clear, as you're making the decision, I know this is your time, what the actual facts are related to both the ADO designation and what's required of us with that, and how we're not an arm of the Department of Commerce. We're a 501c4 public-private partnership. There are other things that define our scope and our appropriate work. And within that, I want to be respectful of both our private and public sector partners in how we make decisions. And I've committed to you on the bridge crossing to have a very deliberate, inclusive process going forward. And I believe our activities have strongly represented that. So thank you for allowing me to weigh in.
Hey, Mike.
So, back up. Who is going to have a strong communication on that?
I'm sorry.
Your last statement that you made was that in communications you're having with Mador, that you will have a strong one-on-one communication about that.
As bridge discussions or corridor solution discussions move forward, I am committed for our organization to be inclusive of all of the partners, whether they're investors or not in our organization, those key stakeholders to have a voice as we deliberate any positions that we could take in the future.
Okay.
And I'm not speaking to the past on how any of that's happened, but what I'm saying is under my leadership in the organization, that's how I operate.
Okay, and I want to be clear, if I'm the representative on CREDC, I expect to be included in one-on-one discussions so that I'm up to speed.
Absolutely.
And that I understand what communications are going on, and that as a board member and executive board member, I know exactly what's going on.
And Mike, I'm looking at this letter. It has your signature on it from April 3 that says President, Columbia River Economic Development Council, and you're lobbying in print here legislature to fund this CRC project, the Mill Plain. You're welcome. You can pass that. So I'm trying to put those two together. Certainly the general idea of supporting infrastructure. I love infrastructure for our area. But for the CREDC and for you to represent them, to fund that CRC project, and there's ample documentation that says it's exactly what it is. It's nothing but the CRC project. It's not consistent with the spirit of what you just intended to share.
This
to
is not
share.
A lobbying document. This is an information clarification project. And it says clearly here, which is what I stated was our contingent, is that we support other projects in our region equally. So it does not call out support for that. It refers back, again, that was a contingent that our leadership and our policy committee discussed, that we don't support one project over another within the region. Our role is to hear from our partners what projects are important to them and advocate equally for those. They can fall and rise on their own merits, and that's our stance publicly, and that's our discussion that we've had with legislators as well, too. So there's a lot of work that happens outside of our broad support for these projects.
If you flip the page and read highlighted what you signed, what does it say?
Within the context of this broader equal support, it says funding for these two projects call upon the House to do the same.
These two projects. The big one that the
supporting all equally misinformation.
It's not equal. It's those two projects.
This is a response to not fund. So I didn't draft this letter. I did read it, and our requirements were to support the projects equally. And in that case, if there was misinformation, that was what we and the other organizations in this letter were signing up to.
Well, I extend goodwill to you, and I want to be able I believe in the mission of the CREDC, and I'd love to be able to see that Clark County get marketed and fulfill the intent there as defined by our CW law. And the only problem I have here is that continued explicit lobbying with your signature on it and the CREDC logo on the CRC project, and there's a lot more documents like that. Those are just some examples from last month that says fund the CRC project, and that's the problem I have. Just stay neutral. We can make, I would say, let's continue to, I need to make sure that if there be a way for us to be able to somehow better understand and to see what can we do to make sure we're all good stewards, fulfilling the intent and not having mission drift, and be faithful to the citizens that we represent. We serve as elected representatives. And if they say yes in an obvious way, as a representative, I'll be faithful to represent them. If they no, then it would be violating my trust with the voters if I said, well, we're going to fund them anyway, that's to use your funds to lobby against you. That's the problem I have with it. So neutrality in that area would be so much better.
My recollection from the Clark County Transportation Alliance and RTC voted, and I believe both you and Councilmember Stewart voted to support those. Subsequently, that unprioritized list, that has been our marching orders with the assumption that the alliance included RTC, which had the county support. I understand you don't support the prioritization, neither do we. That's been our stance. I need to be very clear publicly about that. That's what is reflected in this letter. And the other, we wrote a letter on 179th, which also called for equal support projects, but in addition to those projects, to consider 179th. And that is within our scope relative to our economic development plan.
Well, we can make
the RCW progress. Is a contract with Commerce, not the scope of our 501c4.
I think we can do better, because those letters there, they're standalone lobbying by the CREDC with the logo of the CREDC and your signature on it saying fund these two projects. I don't have any problem with the one Mill Plain, but the CRC doing more harm than good violates, in my eyes, the core mission of the CREDC. It'll do more harm than good. It will stop free flow of traffic in our area. It'll block it. It doesn't work. So if you can pass that back to me. We will. First of all, there's hope.
It's really important to make that distinction. I hope you'll move forward with the ADO funding. There's a lot contingent upon that. I would rather be working with businesses than being here arguing over misinformation.
I would rather be here, or I'd rather be focusing on that, because This isn't MIS. This is documentation that was provided as a result of a public records request. This is real information. It's not misinformation. And all that it speaks for itself. But in any case, let's see what we can do to be successful, to market Clark County. I'm not finished with our conversations to see what can we do to be more consistent with that, stay focused and steer clear of the CRC. That would be, hopefully we'll be able to do that. There's more homework to do. We have several weeks before this is due. Thank you, Mike.
And?
Yes, ma'am.
Those conversations will be with me present. These continuing conversations you think we need to have with Mike.
I think all of us need to be able to have conversations. And we can't turn them all into public meetings where we're all there.
Right.
You can accomplish a lot more with one-on-ones to be able to actually have a free, uninhibited conversation. And we all have that, I think, freedom, and if we have an interest, we have a responsibility to do that.
Well, the only difficulty, obviously, is that both of you are at the same meeting, is that we'll have to advertise it as a special meeting, just so...
I'd be glad to have that happen.
Well, and that's okay. I mean, there's nothing that precludes that. I'm just mentioning it so that we avoid that issue.
Well, and here's what I'm interested in. If I'm not the representative on CRC, I'm not the representative. If I am, then I know what is going on in our relationship with CREDC. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to rely on you to come and tell me what the conversation is. I want to be present for it, mm-hmm. so that we all have exactly the same understanding.
It would be
so
good.
So what conversation can we have moving forward that will be what you need to satisfy yourself that the Commerce Department ADO funding should go forward to CREDC? What pieces of conversation are left to come?
Well, there still needs to be some conversations there, and there needs to be some better understanding than we have now. I don't want to repeat what we did in 2013 and just simply have the same continue to happen. I want to be able to see what can we do to help our community market Clark County in a way that's consistent, that does more good than harm, and see if perhaps the CREDC will be able to consider just simply staying neutral on any CRC project. There's opportunity for that board to consider that. It sounds like that would be appropriate.
I have a board meeting tomorrow if there's a specific request that you have of our organization.
Well, it's what I related to in my last email, which is
you're asking please not to oppose Mill Lane in our last email. I'm not asking you to oppose Mill Lane in our last email.
No, my last email was to ask the CREDC just simply to stay neutral on major transportation, controversial transportation projects, in particular the CRC.
I need to see a copy of that email.
Again, CRC is
dead. I'll be happy to provide a copy.
You don't have a position on CRC because in our organization's approach, there is no CRC project currently in the way. We have a difference of opinion on Mill Plain. I have concerns about Mill Plain and any future bridge projects. And as it moves through design, we'll certainly have those questions and be asking those questions. So I need specifically what you would like me to ask our board.
I will send you another email, and I'll copy, I don't know, Chris. I'm not supposed to send to all.
No, but if you send it to him, if you want to send it to me, I can.
Okay.
Work out how that gets routed.
It's an appeal. It's a request, and I respect the board's autonomy to be able to make whatever decision they see fit.
Go on.
No, I want it on the record. We're sending him an email telling him what he has to do to perform to get the state money, I want it on the record. I don't want any more conversations that I don't know anything about. It doesn't help me in my participation here.
Well, that's okay also.
Tom, I'm sorry.
No, I got to share. I've really been supportive of the... a pass-through money going to CREDC. And I was aware that they had signed on to that here a while back. I feel like I've been thrown under the bus by the city of Vancouver and by Washington DOT. 2 months ago, DOT didn't know anything about this. You asked at the RTC meeting very distinctly, each one of them individual. Mm-hmm. Can you give me an idea what you're doing on this project? And no one would answer or come forward or share a thing. You asked DOT, City of Vancouver, and
Port of Vancouver,
and RTC.
Yeah.
Nobody come up and shared this with us. And it truly is, now I'm looking at it now, it, without a doubt, it is remnants of the CRC project. And while we've been signed on, I would think, I think because of the way it has come about and the way it seems to have been done behind closed doors, I would only think it's fair for us to be able to go backwards also and ask as a partner of CREDC that they change their position on this as well.
Well, and
I really feel, I mean, 2 months ago, and you just got this last week, this week,
mm-hmm.
and you got it from Bronson, from the City of Vancouver, not from DOT.
No.
Does DOT have this, or is this from the City of Vancouver?
The City of Vancouver provided these documents, and that's a snapshot of the larger drawing. The larger drawing has the CRC stamp on it, 2011.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, you're exactly right. We asked in RTC. The port was sitting in the RTC meeting. You asked the port. WSDOT. We asked WSDOT. We were all in the same meeting. And we were met with absolute silence when we said, what are the details of this?
Like same thing that's gone on with C-TRAN.
That we're,
they had the authority to shove it down our throats and thought we were going to accept it.
That we are upset by our partners not communicating with us and stonewalling us, which they did.
They sure did.
No question. Is a separate issue than the ADO money, as far as I'm concerned. Because CREDC didn't stonewall us.
It's also up to $92 million
now. I don't even know if they had it.
Actually, Mike, you signed this letter, and I didn't know about it. And you knew we were, I assume that you knew we were asking about this.
We don't own this project. I will commit to you, if this Clark County Transportation Alliance revisits it, if RTC revisits it, we will also revisit it. But we don't own that project. And our support is of the Clark County Transportation Alliance statement. And tying it to ADO funding is very, very troubling for all of our partners, both public and private. I know you've heard from a lot of them. They're two completely separate issues. I'm happy to address. I really want to be a strong partner, continue to be a strong partner with the county. This issue, tying it to ADO funding, is very inappropriate in our eyes. And I'm having a lot of trouble. I'm trying to stay level here, but I'm having a lot of trouble with the way that this conversation is.
And, well, the troubling part is that ADO money is working against the citizens that voted against this project, and it hasn't been forthcoming. It hasn't been forthright provided. Your signature is here from last month, and we didn't know about it until I got it from the City of Vancouver that was surrendered. But let's just de-escalate a little bit here, because I want to end up with us being able to find a way to be successful, because I believe in the core mission. And if we could stay in the core mission, I think there may be hope for that. And if we can get the toxic out of here, the CRC project, then by all means, we will move ahead.
I'm looking at this project and thinking of commercial economic development, and I see none. I see no advantage to commercial development in the proposed, what they have. In fact, it would be just the opposite if you were southbound I-5 going to the port, because now you come to a full stop. My terrible gut feeling is they threw up a drawing to satisfy our continuous asking to see the project. And I don't know where that money's really going to go.
Yeah. Our anger, mm-hmm. our upset, our feeling really a sense of outrage, because that's how we felt as we repeatedly asked, and no one would give us information. They wouldn't even tell us, I don't know anything mm-hmm. about it. And that's Port of Vancouver, yeah. that was RTC,
Jared
that
right
was
at
City
it.
Of Vancouver, mm-hmm. And somebody else.
WSDOT.
That they stonewalled us at a number of meetings. It's inexcusable. So I don't want to translate that to Mike signing a letter for a corridor improvement.
Mm-hmm. This is more than signing a letter.
Well, if this was any letter other than something that had been stuck in our craw for several months in a row, I think we'd be viewing it differently. I think our outrage about how we were treated about the Mill Plain cross upgrade or interchange has a little bit to do with where we are, because we have no recourse to anybody else. It's CREDC, their signature's on here too. So they're the ones that we can, you know, do something about. They're the ones we can bring to the table and say, this is just wrong. And so Port of Vancouver gets away scot-free. RTC, in their denial that they had information. And actually, our inquiries, I think our inquiries were in February and March to RTC for the details of this. But even this letter doesn't have the details.
No, there's no details.
This one has more of the
details. Sketch of a drawing that came from Vancouver.
Exactly. That's
DOT,
all we had
DOT
before.
DOT project.
Yeah.
What's going on here? I'm not sure.
And we asked
in Mike's defense, I don't think Mike really knows what's going on either. I think in good faith and trying to move things along for the Transportation Alliance and the RTC and the city and the port. I believe Mike very faithfully wanted to help everybody, and he's got the tough task of going back and asking in our behalf of something to be corrected.
And at this point, I don't think we're at a point where you can make
we'll
a decision at this point. I think if each one of us can individually close the communication gap one-on-one with anybody on the CREDC, I'm happy to talk with anybody about this.
I think it's a voter violation. It's going around the voters after they've finally been able to vote. Then they've gone around their vote.
And that makes us further outraged.
Yeah,
I feel outraged too, because CREDC was not at the RTC, so we couldn't ask them. You don't sit on the board. But I was at, and I didn't think you guys had anything. But you did. And we couldn't get it from anybody. This letter, it's your signature, I would like to have known about it.
I will figure out who sent that letter and encourage them that they should have sent you a copy of that.
Yeah, that'd be good. Thank you. So, more work to be done. We got some time. Bring it back. Okay, thank you. Okay, early adopter memo. 1.4. That's Mark McCauley and Swanson.
Okay, in your packet, you had the letter that Vanessa had talked about. I think, Chris, you were involved with some of that. There were provisions that the healthcare authority wanted to include in the letter, and I don't know if you've had a chance to read it, but it's a two-pager, with an attachment. That's it. It's addressed to Mary Ann Lindblad, Medicaid director.
Chris, did you put this letter together?
No, what happened
was... You had a lot of questions and things that you wanted to make sure was in the letter.
What happened was Vanessa initially wrote the letter, and it was pretty general, and I sent her an email saying I don't have a problem because it really didn't commit to much other than that we anticipated going forward reserving unto ourselves the right to negotiate the agreement. We weren't going to commit to an agreement before we saw it. She sent it to the state. The state came out with a within the 2 days, if you recall when they made their presentation, they said they were going to be coming out with some general letters within 2 days, and we took that and used that to craft this. Amanda from our office and myself both reviewed it, and we made some edits to, again, reserve to the county our right to negotiate, or if we couldn't negotiate, so be it, but at least at this point to bind ourselves to work in good faith with them towards negotiation, recognizing we still have that step, which is a little bit of an unknown, but assuming we can work through that negotiation to go forward as in the early adopter process. So as it stands, we didn't have any objection, and we thought it was a proper statement for the board, and it left you with flexibility in the event at some point in the negotiations that we had some problem that we found to be insurmountable.
Okay. I'm good.
So is it ready for us to sign?
Yeah, I believe that.
Great.
I just need you to agree to...
Okay. We're going to get something done. Just give me that, baby.
Well, let's have a motion and a vote.
Does it take a special pen?
Well, actually, like 6 pens.
Is there anything I don't know about this?
So do they need to just sign it or take...
Yeah, they have to. It's a formal binding of the county, I would suggest that you move to approve it and then memorialize it by your signature.
Somebody want to make a motion?
Sure, I motion. Oh, sorry.
Is this an exact duplicate of that?
Well, I assume so. I haven't seen both of them together.
I just want to make sure that what we're signing is...
Great. Okay. When you're ready.
And Vanessa has seen this and agrees with all of this.
Yeah.
She saw and drafted some share of it. So, yeah. Yes.
Who's the primary person who's responsible for this? Vanessa?
Vanessa took in the proposed, there was some proposed language that came from the state of minimum elements that she wanted, that they were looking at this letter addressing. She took some of the minimum elements, incorporated those into her prior letter, added those together with some edits that we made, and that culmination is the document that you have before you.
Okay.
Chris?
Yes, sir.
I serve as the Clark County commissioner on the RSN board. I assume that Skamania County is signing a similar letter?
Yeah, well, they were a presentation, if you recall, they were going to make that same presentation either the same day or
the next day. Afternoon.
And so they will be required to sign a letter identical or substantially the same.
It would probably be helpful if they have not already done so for you to be able to send this letter to them.
Sure.
So that, because you've already done the homework.
Yeah. I'll send it to Adam Kick, who is the prosecutor.
Let them plagiarize off of our work, save some time.
Steal our very best work.
Yeah, that's
get
right.
Get more miles out of it.
They model it after ours.
Okay, very good. So, ready for a motion?
So I'll make a motion that we adopt the letter drafted by our staff. To faithfully move forward on our
early adopter.
And I second that motion.
Okay, any more discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Okay, so we can sign that letter.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chris. All right, moving on to 2.1, new business, letter to Planning Commission member. Is that you, Chris?
Yes, sir. Councilors, this is a letter that reflects earlier discussions that I have had and information that the county has become aware of and is in draft form only. It represents some policy that the board, if you approve, we are going to request that you sign. So it's presented for your consideration only. I believe, it's presented for your consideration, and if the board finds it accurate, to sign, and I will assure that it's sent out.
Okay. Can I see it?
Or it's in your packet.
Oh, I need to borrow one. Thank you, sir. The dog ate my home.
Has this person been advised?
I made contact before I even asked the board to send or to consider a letter, and yes, she was advised and refused by email to voluntarily step down.
Okay.
This is a lady that I think she and I talked to.
Yes.
That told us of the conflict of interest and an issue.
In order, if we want to sign this letter, we just simply have a consensus. You need to vote on it.
I think this action, the board, I would follow the same process you make when you make the appointments, because this is the opposite of that. If you take a vote before you make appointments, I'd follow that same process.
We do. Is there a motion?
Yeah, I'd have to make a motion that we adopt a letter to send to the Planning Commission member.
Okay.
Is that the motion?
I think the motion would be both, to terminate their membership in the Planning Commission and formalize that through the mailing of this letter.
Okay.
We discussed that.
Yes.
Okay.
Is that your motion?
Yes.
What he just said, is that your motion?
Extend the letter.
Okay. So that's a clarification on the motion.
No. There are two things that need to be done.
The letter.
The letter and to...
The action that the letter justifies.
Yes.
So it's a motion to terminate
motion
the appointment and to send the letter which will notify them of the termination.
Okay. So is there a second?
All right. Yes.
Any more discussion?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. There's my signature. Oh, that says draft.
Chris has it here.
Okay. Back to you. Thank you, Chris.
Certainly.
Are we wrapped up?
I believe I am.
Yeah, that's it.
I should have noticed you earlier and
scared
you.
I understand.
Okay, that is the last thing on the agenda. Councilor Stewart, do you have anything else?
I do not.
Okay.
I have just a couple quick things. A reminder that I've been followed up getting more information possible from Pat Lee on that 20-acre farm as to whether or not we could label it as excess property and better use that money to purchase some other conservation land down the way to buy more riparian areas. I'm working on that. I understand that at least Jeannie has an appointment with Pat Lee.
Yes,
good. That's good.
And some others.
So hopefully next week I'll bring it back again.
Okay. Right.
That'd be one. And the other thing I want to bring to your attention, we've already brought to your attention, was the information that our attorney did work for me as to his opinion as to... that one there, yes.
Yeah.
On our ability to review vacancies before Mark fills those positions. And so we'll probably stay with that and follow through. More than likely, I'll draft a resolution along this line and give it to you during the week.
Okay. All right. Anything else?
That's all I have.
Mark, you got anything?
Yes. There's in your packet, there should be a work session request by Community Planning to enable them to update you on the Rural Industrial Land Bank status of that project. And just to let you know where we're headed.
Great.
That would be good.
Yeah, it would be good.
Okay, good.
Yeah, you're going to have green light.
Yeah, requested date is 3 June or 10 June, so I'll work with Rebecca to pick a date. Other than that, I have nothing.
Excellent.
Nope.
Holly?
No.
Peter? Okay, motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Adjourn. Thank you.
Good job, Mr. Chairman.